Hello folks, Daniel Moth here again. This time I'm going to show you the parallel and GPU debugging in Visual Studio 2012 release candidate, focusing specifically on debugging C++ AMP code. The code I'm going to be using is a tiled matrix multiplication, but I'm not going to focus on that at all. I will assume you understand that, and we'll only focus on the debugging features themselves. So what I did here is I created an empty C++ project, I added an empty C++ file, and then I added the code that you see here. If we just go full screen so we can look at that, we'll see that we have in main basically three matrix objects represented by standard vectors, and you can see the sizes. They're basically 256 elements in total, 16 rows by 16 columns. Then I go and populate both matrix A and matrix B in the manner that you see over here. And then I go and pass those two as well as C, which will be initialized to zeros, and the sizes to the matmal amp function. And that what that is going to do is going to do this matrix multiplication. So if we go and look at matmal amp, you'll see that it's a standard tiled matrix multiplication where we wrap the data with the array views, and then we capture the array views here in the lambda that we pass to the parallel for each. And the final line is what you'd expect. We assign a sum to the output matrix, and then the actual calculation, just for fun, I've extracted it into its own doit method, which of course it also has to have the restrict amp specifier on it. Also notice here that the tile size I'm picking is 8 by 8, which means we're going to have 64 threads in each tile, which means that we're actually going to have four tiles in total executing this computation for the debugging purposes. So if you look at Doit, there's where you find the standard core algorithm, and it just calculates a sum and returns it. Again, our focus is on debugging. So the question is, how can we debug this code and you know do all, does everything that we expect to work? So what I would expect is that I'm able to go here and put a breakpoint on this line, and then I expect to be able to hit F5, and the program breaks on the breakpoint, and I can go here and examine variables by hovering. So I can look at that variable there, I can hover over my inputs, for example B, and I can see that there are 16 rows and 16 columns as you would expect. And then I can go and look at variables in the locals window, for example. So here we see the variables that are within scope for this particular method. Or I can go and look at the autos window, and this is very useful because it shows you expressions around the current line, not just variables, but expressions around the current statement, and you can see those in this window. Or I can go and just add to the watch window and look at exactly the variables I want without having to hover all the time. So I could go and add the sum variable, and I could take this expression, which should have nothing meaningful in it, so I can just drag it here. So this value is meaningless because it hasn't been written to yet, it's just uninitialized data. But then when would this value be stored correctly? When I step to the next line. So I could go and actually do that. So I can go and hit step over, and now I step, and you can see in red it shows me that the value has changed, and now the correct value is in this global output array view. When we look at the variables here, they belong to a thread, of course. Local variables belong to a single thread. And if I want to see what thread that is, I can see it up here. It is actually the thread in tile 00, and it's thread 00. And we know that threads have a call stack, and of course I can go and see that as well. So you would expect maybe here to just have one stack frame, the one for the lambda, since we haven't called any other functions. But what you can see in the debugger is also the underscore underscore kernel underscore stub function, which is what the C++ AMP generates for you, and that's what really calls your code. So we do a lot of setup in that function that we generate, so you can see that in the debugger as well. But I'm not going to go into that and look at the disassembly. That's something you can do on your own. I'll just focus on here in the call stack. So this just shows you the lambda. That's how the lambda is represented in the call stack. Now if I was to continue from here, what's going to happen to this thread? Well, it's reached the end of the execution, so it's going to go and complete. So what I can do is I can go and put a breakpoint here in the last line of Doit, and if I continue, we'll see that indeed the other thread has completed, and now we have another thread that has gone and hit this breakpoint. So a thread started executing here the lambda called Doit, and it's now on the last line of Doit. And that thread is thread still in tile 00, it's a thread 04. And I can tell you here what we do is we actually execute under the debugger four threads in lockstep. So previously when we're looking at thread 00, Actually, at that same location, there was also thread 01, 02, and 03. That's four threads in total. And indeed, right now, here on this line where we see thread 04, it's actually four threads. And if I hover over here the glyph in the side, I can see there is four threads. And these are threads 04, 05, 06, and 07, still of tile 00. Now, furthermore, looking at the glyph in the editor margin here, I can see on 23 we have 56 threads, and they are all at this on line 23 ready to continue execution. So 56 threads here, plus the 4 here, that gives us 60, and the 4 that completed, that's 64, which is the entire tile. And what I can do here from the margin is I can also go and switch to threads. So now I've switched to them, which means that if I go here and I step, I'm just going to step 4 threads out of that, and here are the 4 threads that step to the next line. While still on this line over here, we're seeing the 52 threads that are left. So we have 4 threads here, and we have the 52 threads over there. Now, one way of looking at these threads and where they belong is through the editor margin, like I'm showing over here. But we have a better way, which is to use the parallel stacks window. So if we look at the parallel stacks window, it gives you in a single picture straight away that you have 60 threads that are currently active, and they started in kernel stub, they went to the lambda, and now they're all in Duet. And if you hover there, you'll be able to see all these different threads. So we have 52 threads here, 4 there, and 4 over there. So the parallel stacks window is a good way for seeing where all your threads are right now and to switch between them so you can step appropriately. So for example, here if I was to step, what's going to happen to these threads on line 25? So we step, well, they go to line 26, and if I step again, they're going to return into the lambda that was call and do it. And indeed, that is what happens. But notice now the parallel stacks window. It's telling you, it's showing you in different nodes where threads share the same call stack. So there is 60 threads that all share the same call stack. They started from kernel stub and they went to the lambda. But out of those 60, it's only 56 that are currently in Duet. So that is how you can go and look at not just where all your threads are, but actually in a pictorial way, you can see which ones are sharing the same call stack and they're in the same function. But if you want to see where all your threads are, like really all of them, not just the ones that are active, like the 60, you know, in the tile I had 64. So I want to know what happened to all of them. We have an even better view, which is the GPU threads window. So the GPU threads window shows you here all the information that you could see in the parallel stacks, but it also has an additional row. And that row is the 4 threads here telling you where the status completed. So these are not active. So they've gone back into kernel stub, they are completed threads. So GPU threads window is a way for you to go and switch and examine threads, all the threads that you have in your computation. Now, we can see where all the threads are. So if I was to go and put a breakpoint somewhere up here, let's say, all threads in this tile are past that location. So what would happen here? Well, if I continue now, what's going to happen is we're going to go and hit the next tile. So the first thread in the next tile is what should come over there. So here we're at tile 00. If I continue, we should see that becoming tile 01. So let's go ahead and prove that. And indeed, you can see that we're now in tile 01. Thread 00 and the other 3 threads that are with it are on line 15 in Duet, while we have 60 threads, and you can see another status here which is not started. What would happen if I was to go and continue? Let's hit the 5 again. Well, now we see that we have 4 different threads here on line 15. So these are the threads 04. The first set of 4 threads has continued, and it's actually on line 19. And you can see the status that these are blocked. So they continued, but they couldn't make progress. They hit the barrier, which is why a next set of threads came out and went and hit that breakpoint. So you can see how useful it is here in the GPU threads window to see all these statuses and to be able to reason about what your threads are doing. And there's another status as well, diverged, which I'm not showing you and I won't go into this in this short video. So what I want to do now is just go and put a breakpoint further down. Let's put a breakpoint over here in a 5 and see what happens. And now what we have is 4 threads have reached that point, line 23, while the other 19 are now released from the barrier and they're ready to execute whenever we let them. So what would happen now if I wanted to look at the sum variable? So I can look at the sum variable here, and for this thread it is 2464. But I want to see its value for the other 3 threads that are on this line. So what I can do is I can go and look, use a thread switcher and manually switch to exactly the thread that I want. And by doing that, we now switch to another thread, so when I look at sum, now it's 2492. If I was to switch again, Now I look at it and now it's 2520 and so on, because obviously these variables belong to individual threads. So one way to look at variables then across different threads is to use a thread switcher, or just double click if you want more coarse granularity. But there is a better way to do that, and a better way is to use the parallel watch window. So in the parallel watch window, what it shows you is all the threads in a specific method, and in that method you can see every row represented by a thread, and you can easily switch between the threads individually over here, and this includes all the threads that are in that method. However, the prime reason for parallel watch is not to let you easily switch, but to actually let you examine the variables that are running over there. So I could go on some, and instead of add watch, I could say add parallel watch. And now I can see those variables, those values that I was seeing earlier, I can see them all and compare them side by side with the different threads. And if I scroll down, you'll see that it's zero for the rest of the threads because they haven't reached that point. So if I go and hit a five, you see that now we have another set of four threads that have gone and reached that point. And I can see the values for those, including what the old value was. So that's a way for you to go and look at the data. And at the larger resolution or do a monitor setups, you typically drag this window out so you can go and look at everything in a single view. And you can also go here and do intrusive debugging. So you can go and change the values, for example. And now I've changed the value there. And my code may take different code paths depending on value or variable. So I can simulate situations without having to change my code. Other things I can do here is I can go and flag threads, for example. So let's say I flagged these threads, and I can go and say show flagged only. And now you can see that all the views, not just the parallel watch, but the parallel stacks, GPU threads, and so on, they all just focus on this three threads that I decided to drill in on. So that's a good way for you to pick threads depending on context and focus on them. Other things you can do is go and use Boolean expressions. So you could go for example, just enter any expression here, and that will just filter down to the rows that you're interested in. And that's a way for you to filter and then maybe go and flag and in order to have all the other views follow in this filtering that you're doing. You could also go here and export to Excel and go and do manipulations over there. So very rich functionality for you to investigate your program based on data. And for all these views, I really encourage you to go and right click and see other operations such as grouping, for example. And all the windows have rich functionality, such as, for example, freezing. You can do that from all the different views, and that puts you in control. So you can go and say, I don't want these threads to move from this line when I continue execution. Keep them over here, and you can freeze and thaw and essentially become the scheduler. So do go and examine the context menus in all these views. Now, just like with freezing, you can become the scheduler. We have another neat functionality, I think, which is if I wanted to go and bring all the threads to a specific line. So right now they're all in Do It, but let's say I wanted all of them over here, so I could look at the sum variable and examine all these parallel views in a truly meaningful manner, because everything is at the same line. I can do that by right clicking, and I'm sure you know the old functionality in Visual Studio, Run to Cursor, that still works. That's like a temporary breakpoint. We've added Run Current Tile to Cursor for C++ AMP debugging, and what that does is essentially it inserts a temporary barrier just for the debugging purposes. So if I go and do that, we'll see that all 64 threads in the tile have reached the line 38, and now when I go and look at the sum variables, they're all there, which means that sorting and grouping on the columns is going to operate on my entire computation for this tile. So that's all I wanted to show you for debugging. This is a live debugging that I'm showing you, but I do want to show you one more thing. So let's go and stop this. And what do you think would happen if you had forgotten to put a barrier? Right, this is essentially the synchronization mechanism you have, and the thing that can create races. So let's say you forgot to put this barrier and you run under the GPU debugger. Well, we've got you covered, because what you're going to see is that we're actually going to tell you that you missed the barrier over there. So here is the pop-up window that comes simulating an exception, and it's telling you there is a read after write hazard, and the previous access was at line 17 by thread 00. So let's go and break here. And we can look at that same information in the output window. So again, you can see the previous access was at line 17 by thread 00. And right now, we're on line 22 and we're at thread 01. So what the detection is telling you is that over here you're accessing the lock A, this tile static array, but how can you be guaranteed when you're accessing this in 01 that thread 00 previously on line 17 initialized that piece of memory? And that is the erase detection that you're seeing here in action. So don't worry. Make sure you run your code under the GPU debugger in order to find erase conditions like this. And you can configure this in the granularity of them. If you go to debug exceptions dialog, you'll see there the new GPU memory access exceptions. And you can fine-tune this to notify you only for the things that you care about. And with that, I think that's all I wanted to spend time on for this debugging overview. If you have any questions, by all means, we'd love to answer those. Just leave a comment at the bottom of where you found this recording. Thanks for watching.